Thank you. Moving on to agenda item 17, report and possible discussion on legislative update by Matt Phillips, Legislative and Governmental Affairs Manager.
Who's hungry? So glad to get to go right before lunch. But what y'all don't know is I haven't looked at most of these slides since April, so I'm going to be as surprised as y'all are about what's on here. I'm going to try to give y'all an idea of kind of since we last talked in April, what ended up passing. The list of stuff I'll go through will obviously be shorter than what I went through in April because most stuff dies. But just kind of give you an idea of what ended up happening during the session. Flood bills, obviously flooding was a huge issue. We talked about House Bill 26 in April, requires us to have on file with TCEQ a plan for how we're going to notify downstream emergency operations centers when we make gate releases. That's something that we already do. We're just going to have to formalize it and document it with TCEQ. Senate Bill 6 is very heavy on training for local officials to be ready and prepared for and able to recover from disasters. But even more importantly, Senate Bill 6 and its companion bill, House Bill 5, have a provision in there that requires the creation of a wet debris study group. And the important thing that that group's going to look at is assigning roles and responsibilities for dealing with debris in rivers. That's something that we're going to watch very closely because the numbers on that can be pretty astronomical depending on who is assigned responsibility for removing debris. So we'll be watching that during the interim. They're going to produce a report for the next session, so it's something that we'll be paying a ton of attention to as we go forward. The remainder of the bills on this list, Senate Bill 7, Senate Bill 8, Senate Bill 500, and HGR 4, kind of represent the funding piece and the planning piece of the flood issue. Senate Bill 7 is essentially a combination of Senate Bill 7 and House Bill, what was House Bill 13. The Senate and the House kind of had a little bit of a difference on how they wanted to fund flooding going forward, and so they basically just took both of their proposals and combined them into one bill. But if you take them all together and combine Senate Bill 7, which creates the Texas Infrastructure Resiliency Fund and the Flood Infrastructure Fund, and you take money appropriated under the Supplemental Appropriations Bill and Senate Bill 500, and then you take HJR 4, which creates the Flood Infrastructure Fund, if it is passed by the voters in November, you get a total of about $1.7 billion dedicated to future funding or future flooding issues in the state. And that's anything from planning to actually implementing projects to updating floodplain maps. It's the whole gamut from A to Z. What all of those processes will eventually fund is what comes out of Senate Bill 8. Senate Bill 8 will create a state flood planning process similar to the statewide water planning process that we currently have in place, but just for funding. So the state will be broken up into regions. Those regions will create regional plans, which will eventually flow up to a statewide flood plan. What comes next for all of this, for every single bit of this, is that the Water Development Board was given a ton of leeway to create rules on how they're going to implement and administer these funds, and then how they're going to create the statewide flood planning process. So there's going to be an extensive rulemaking process over the course of the next year to year and a half, and that's a process that we will take part in along with many others in the water industry to see kind of how it's going to affect us going forward. I know for a fact we'll obviously be affected by Senate Bill 8, because we're going to be in some of the regions that the state gets broken up into to create floodplains, similar to the water planning process. Surface water, it was a pretty quiet session on surface water. Probably the biggest thing for us is House Bill 723, which requires updates of water availability models for the Brazos, the Red, the Nueces, and the Rio Grande Rivers. We'll be the first one up. TCEQ is currently seeking proposals for engineering firms to begin that work. That's something that we'll watch very closely. And then House Bill 1964 allows smaller, less consequential amendments to water rights to get moved through that process faster, trying to reduce that water rights backlog at TCEQ. So for instance, if you've got a diversion point on one part of your property and you want to move it to another part of your property and there's no water right holders in between one point and the other point, it allows you to an expedited amendment process. It was a busy session on groundwater, but most of the controversial stuff didn't pass. So things such as loser pays for groundwater or the requirement that groundwater districts over the same aquifer adopt the same rules or mirror rules, none of that stuff passed. So what did pass, and Brad alluded to some of this earlier, were things to promote the use of new technology such as ASR, so studying ASR, and basically creating a regulatory environment for aquifer storage and recovery and develop a brackish groundwater to encourage folks to go out and use those technologies. And as you saw with the MOU that you allowed us to enter into earlier, that's something that we're going to be interested in the future. and then extension of groundwater transfer permits. This is just to make sure that permits to move groundwater match up to the production permits to produce that water, so you don't have one that's shorter than the other. This thing is fast. Man, come on. There we go. Contracting bills. Right to repair, that's a bill that we talked about in April. It will require a process where before you can essentially sue a contractor for a defect or for some sort of problem with a project, you have to give them the ability to try to repair that. So that's something that will affect us. As it will affect all public entities that enter into contracts with for major construction projects. And then House Bill 2826, procurement of contingent fee legal services, requires public entities to go to the AG before they enter into a contingent fee legal contract. So if we choose to use those, we will have to get AG approval before we can. Open meetings, open records, walking quorum bill. We talked a little bit about this. The statute related to walking quorums was declared unconstitutional actually during the session, and so there was a motivation among the legislature to fix that. They did. It doesn't really affect us. We're very careful about avoiding a walking quorum. We continue to be. We operate within the spirit of the law. They essentially clarified the law and basically passed a new version of the walking quorum bill, so it's business as usual for us because we already obeyed the law. Disclosure of contracting information. This just sets up a process where you can't really hide behind proprietary issues and choosing not to disclose information. So we'll be required more so to disclose information when we're contracting with private entities than we would have before. So you're less able to withhold certain information. Same thing on Senate Bill 944. Again, this is public information held on private devices. So it basically clarifies that if you have public information on a private device, it is public information and you do have to disclose it. And then lastly, Allen's Creek. Obviously that bill passed. It requires the city of Houston to sell us their interest in Allen's Creek. We'll pay them $23 million, which is the amount that they said that they have invested to date. We have attempted to implement the provisions of that legislation, and obviously, as you know, there's been a lawsuit filed on that, and we'll get into more about that later. And that's the last I have on the legislation. Any questions on that? The thing I'll wrap up with, did you have a question? The thing I'll wrap up with is the sunset process. So we will be under sunset over the course of the interim leading up to next session. The two river authorities that will be under sunset review are us and the San Jacinto River Authority. The first step in that process is for us to complete what's called a self-evaluation report. We're in the process of completing that report. It's being staffed amongst all of us. We have to turn that in by the beginning of September. Once we turn that in, Sunset will assign us a review team, and then that review team will start visiting with us. It'll be very similar to an audit. We will go through that process. Eventually, next year, we will have hearings in front of the Sunset Commission staff will produce our Sunset report, and then we'll have hearings in front of the Sunset Commission. We'll have both an introductory hearing and then a decision hearing later in the year. So we'll keep you all updated as we work through that process. Once we get the self-evaluation report complete, we'll send y'all a copy of it before we send it to the Sunset Commission.
All right. Thank you, Matt.
Thank y'all.